Hey everybody, and welcome to a brand new episode of the Power Slam podcast. Hi everybody, I fucked up. My name is Kenny, and I fuck up on podcasts sometimes. This is the Inside the Ropes podcast on the main feed. It is a weekend, it is a Saturday, and I'm joined by Sondra, who resides in Grand Rapids, Michigan, home of Lake Michigan, which gives you turbulence, which I don't appreciate. Hi Sondra, how are you?
Hi Kenny, Lake Michigan is lovely though, especially in the summer, like not super right now because it's cold and the lake's not frozen yet, so it's not like cool and frozen and looks like another planet, which is also like it is actually really cool to visit Lake Michigan in the super, super winter. But I'm doing okay. I watched tons of wrestling this week, which, you know, happens every week, which is fun. And it's the holiday season and people are insane.
Yeah, that is the thing about the holidays is that, like, I feel like there's, so I've always had this thing where I know you hate it, but like I'm always like, I just want to have a good time. So like I always kind of don't understand the stress because I don't allow, I've never really had to be around stress. Do you know what I mean? Because it's just been me and my mom. I mean, we had depressing Christmases where it was like it was just the two of us, and like it, you know, there was no real Christmas dinner. It was just like, but it, yeah, it wasn't what you would see on TV. So I always kind of was like, I'm just going to enjoy myself. But like, people are crazy and people get really like my friend Becca yesterday gave me my Christmas card and I was like, it's December the 6th.
Right?
Like, I've not bought a Christmas card yet. Like, I'm like, and I love Christmas. I mean, yesterday was my first like introduction to Christmas, which was me and my mum and Steve going through to
you almost said his name.
Going through to a place called Creef to a Christmas shop, and I bought this really cool like tartan Santa, this like tartan Santa who can like sit beside the TV, and he's like a Scottish Santa.
Oh, that sounds cute.
So I got that, and then like we put up the tree and all that kind of stuff, and I've still got like the because we have an angel on top of our trees rather than a star, so we've got this like little angel who like I've had my whole life for Christmas trees, and she's like dead, but she's still there. She's hanging on.
But she's the one you had from when you were a kid, like, and I can appreciate some of that stuff. Like, I would be hard pressed to tell you where all of my Christmas ornaments are right now. I don't know, like, if they're in the building where I reside or if they're in my storage unit because I haven't touched them in years. But like, there are a couple ornaments that do mean a lot to me. Like my baby's first Christmas one, which cracks me up because they had to white out 1985 and like put 1984 on it because I was supposed to be born in February.
It's a whole thing. The thing about Christmas though is that like, the idea is, so for me, my whole thing is an introduction day that I like to do, which is putting the tree up. And that, because remember last year I did that thing when I was like, I'm going to watch a Christmas movie every day. And the problem was I made the mistake of tweeting it. So like, then it became like, I wasn't enjoying any of it. Because I was like, oh, I fucking need to watch a film. So
no, because then it felt like a job. It felt like wrestling.
Yes. So now I'm just like, you know, relaxed about it. But people are so, so crazy. Like they are like, yeah, like, I mean, who started? I mean, some people say, oh, I'm doing Christmas shopping. Hulk's dreaming right now. What was I going to say? I totally lost my train of thought. Christmas tree up, films.
Christmas tree up, people are crazy. You like to have your introduction day.
Yes. What I was going to say is, so my introduction day usually starts the first week in December, and I ease myself into Christmas. Now, I weirdly, here's something that I enjoy, which everybody hates. I love going to a couple of shops and buying last minute gifts on Christmas Eve. Like, you know, people,
if you can,
like,
find a place that's open.
Well, here everything's open late. Like
are they?
Shopping centers are open till like 7 p.m., 6 p.m. on Christmas Eve. If it's like a Monday to Saturday, if it's a Sunday, it's maybe earlier. But like, I really like the kind of like, oh, there's loads of Christmas music on. It's Christmas tomorrow, and it's like I wouldn't
Like the
leave any.
bustle and the frenzy. Like you love everything about Christmas that I hate about Christmas, which is great. Like I'm really glad that you enjoy it.
Yeah, so it, but I mean, to some people, the idea of going out, I mean, any presents I'm going to get people, I have, you know, the main stuff I've got taken care of. But like, I like going and getting a couple of bits and pieces on Christmas Eve. But some people hate that. They're just like, could not imagine anything worse. But I mean, I've not thought about a card yet for anybody. A Christmas card at this point. Although, did I tell you what my mum said about me going to Steve Gunn's for Christmas?
What did she say? Was it about how you were leaving her sad and alone?
Yes, pretty much. It was an expansion of that thought, where she basically was like, we were watching The Crown, season 3 of The Crown on Netflix, and basically there's like a scene where it's like Prince Charles and the Queen, and it's something about the Queen being kind of just, you know, disappointed because she misses her son Charles, and my mum just goes, oh well, I know what Elizabeth's feeling like there this year with Christmas, don't I? I'm like, mum, you need to
You
control
see your
yourself.
mom all the time, like
I
all
know
the
she
time.
has no leg to stand on, but
And I
she.
love her. Like I love your mother, but like I see my parents maybe once a month, maybe. Like I see them more since my nephews were born because we tend to have more like gatherings just so we can see the kids and stuff, but like I don't ever see my parents or Mr. Saunders' parents. Like we go over there maybe once every few months. We try to do lunch with his mom like once every other month or so. We don't live far away. Like they live 20 minutes from us.
Yeah, I mean, it's a weird. It's a, I mean, my mom sees me all the time. She's kind of like a weird friend as well. Like last night, we went to see the cast of season 1 of RuPaul's Drag Race UK, and she was
Which I'm
like,
super jealous of, by the way.
a woman fainted in the audience because an act was too much
What?
for her. They
Wow.
had this drag queen called Crystal, and she did this bit where she basically came out in full leather with two like men as like dogs on leashes, and she was lip syncing to the Eurythmics Sweet Dreams remix, and then she had metal tits, and then she had the two guys get chainsaws and sort of grind against her metal tits, so it created a fire
So there were
thing.
sparks.
There were sparks, and then
There was tit pyro.
there was tit pyro, and then she got up on a rope and did like trapeze work. Where she basically like went
Oh, you
up
sent
to,
me a little clip of that, I think.
yeah. So she went up to like the top of the. I mean, I didn't send you this clip because I was too busy enjoying it. But she basically tied herself around right to like the top of the. I mean, like the top of the stage. I'm talking like 70 feet above the ground, and then just flipped it right the way down. And she was like 3 feet from the ground when she got down. She was amazing. And then this woman in the crowd fainted in the second row because it was too much for her.
That's so crazy.
But my mum, she was like. Any drag queen who she did not think was good, she did not stand up for to give an applause. But any who she thought was good, she gave the stand up. So she, yeah. But she comes to everything, so I feel no sympathy for her. Fiona, if you listen to this, no sympathy. Anyway, so but yeah, it's been a busy week. We had the Mick Foley tour this week. We went to the Walkabout in Cardiff, worst venue I've ever worked with in my life. They had no sound
Really?
desk. They had no sound desk, which meant we couldn't record the show, which meant that that's like an hour and a half of potential clips that I can't use, which is
So is
a
the show just not recorded?
it's recorded, but we can't. The audio is so terrible, we can't even release it. Like it's just
Oh,
too.
that
It's
sucks.
which you know, I actually costs the company thousands of dollars, which that's how bad. That's
Yeah.
how if you know, put out correctly. That's what that does. So it really does mean a lot. So that was terrible, but Glasgow was great. Classic Grand sold out, great show. And now I get to kind of relax for the rest of the year before we, you know, kickstart our JR and Conrad tour in February, and then Omega in April. But yeah, it's been a week. How's your week been?
I mean, I've been working and holiday shopping is starting to be in full swing. Some of it's actually like there were some cool people yesterday who were shopping for kind of like White Elephant gifts. So they were getting a bunch of shots for people. And I took apart some of the De Kuyper candy canes that we're trying to get rid of and put Absolute shots in them. And like, we had this whole big conversation and they were super nice and I liked them. But yeah, there are a lot of people who are just nuts. And like, having to explain to people that it is illegal to return liquor and you cannot buy liquor for someone and get a gift receipt is just like the bane of my existence. I'm like, no, that's not how it works. Like, it is literally illegal for us to take liquor back. I can't do it. I'm sorry. And they're like, but what if it's not what they want? I'm like, then I don't know what to tell you. Like, this is something that you should ascertain before you come to the store. Like, if you need to leave and come back, that's fine. But no, we will not be accepting returns on any alcoholic purchases because that is not legal in the state of Michigan. But yeah, I mean, other than that, things are pretty decent. Like, nothing super exciting going on. I'm just sort of trying to get through December.
At least there's, I mean, I guess at least when people are coming into your work and they're excited to talk about alcohol, that can be good.
Yeah, and that can be good. Like, part of the issue is that we are always understaffed, and especially this time of year, a lot more people come in with questions, right? Which is great. Like, I do not have a problem with that. But, like, say, I don't know that much about wine, personally. Like, I enjoy drinking wine, but I don't know a ton about it. And I haven't tried that many different styles of wine. So my coworker is a sommelier and he's very knowledgeable. So if anybody has wine questions, I'm going to be like, okay, you can talk to him. And then, you know, I'll run the register. But like, these conversations often will take 10 to 15 minutes because there's a lot to explain to people. Like, this is the type of wine, da, 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 da. So then I'm by myself at the register, or vice versa. If someone has beer questions and he'll be like, okay, you should ask Sandra about this, but then you don't want to be away for too long, like helping a customer and then like leave someone stranded at the register if like five or six people are in line and they refuse to staff the store more in the holidays. So it's, we're just kind of always trying to keep our heads above water a little bit, but that's okay. Like, for the most part, people have been pretty cool. There have just been, like, obviously there are always going to be a few crazies.
That is true. Well, so in good news, I managed to get new internet, so we are not going to have the issues that we've had in the past. The internet is now 6 times better strength than the last one was.
This is helpful.
And in the studio, it is 7 times better, and in the living room it is 14 times better. So but the funny story is, so it's with Virgin Media, who do a broadband that basically goes up to like 350 megabytes per second, whereas BT was like 48 or 50 and never hit it. So anyway, the Virgin Media guy comes around to sort of set it up, and then I was trying to explain to him the idea that like the other half of the house is where the kind of studio and my room are, and the signal through there is horrific, so I keep meaning to move the router. So as I was showing him this, Sarge, our photographer, had dropped off the excess of our Bret Hart t-shirts. I did not realise that was like 300 shirts. So basically, my ground was Bret Hart t-shirts. So I don't think anything of it, because obviously to me this is not new information. So this is just my day-to-day. He recognises me at this point. And goes,
oh, the person installing your internet?
Yeah, he's like, wait a minute, are you the Inside the Ropes guy? And I was like, yes, yes, I am. and he's like, okay, look, I'll do you a deal. I said, okay. And he said, the router you've got in the living room is super strong. He was like, if you give me a t-shirt, I will give you a free $100 booster, which will basically give you a very similar strength through here, and it's on a different Wi-Fi connection, so it won't be like interrupted. And I was like, okay. So I gave him a t-shirt, and then he like left me like his number and was like, any problems, anytime, just call me and I'll fix it. So do you know what? I officially am okay with getting recognized now. I'm good with it.
If it's getting you perks, 100%.
Yeah, if it gets my internet fixed, then great. Happy days. So yeah, so that was my my day the other day. But we should talk about some wrestling, Sandra.
Yeah, we probably should. Wrestling happened this week. Keeps happening.
Let's kick off with talking about the AEW and NXT shows on Wednesday. AEW won the rating again. They were back to win it, sorry. I think they got 851,000 compared to NXT's 845,000. I mean, it was essentially the same.
Yeah, it was real close.
The demos were actually a lot closer this week. than they were before. So let me get some of the demos just because people are interested. AEW won via a 0.32 margin to 0.29 in the 18 to 49 demos. If you factored out the overrun, NXT would have done 838,000 viewers head to head instead of 849 or 45. But yeah, basically the NXT audience is getting like AEW's still ahead in the demos, but NXT, I think with the Survivor Series, it seems to have done a little bit better for them. So people are
Yeah,
starting
it
to
seems
check
like they're
out.
gaining a lot more traction, and I think that they are starting to set up some stuff too. Like I have, like I really enjoyed both shows this week. I thought they were both really good. Like some of the stuff on NXT, like the tag main event, I was just kind of like, why are we doing this again? We just saw these people in War Games, but they are all big stars, and they are like people that people want to tune in for, I guess. AEW, I thought was also a really fun show. There was a lot of stuff I liked. I am starting to wonder if there's some sort of conspiracy theory where the Dark Order is actually secretly controlling Brandi and Awesome Kong, and like the Butcher Blade and the Bunny also seem to have a similar thing going on, but like more Brandi and Kong because they're like, join us, like very clearly, like, hey, join us and be part of our cult and we'll shave your head, like we're the Straight Edge Society. They're not the Straight Edge Society because they don't seem to care about drinking or whatever. I mean, Brandi has a YouTube show called Shot of Brandi, so they're definitely not the Straight Edge Society, but like it seems like there are a lot of culty things happening on AEW, which I'm here for. Like, I'm here for cults and wrestling, but they do seem incredibly similar. And I think it would be kind of interesting if they end up being kind of like tied together. Like, if they are all like partially like controlled by the Dark Order and they're different factions or whatever, that would make it make more sense to me. I kind of hope that that's like a reveal later on,
Well,
but I don't want to know it now.
let's go with NXT first, 'cause I feel like there's more complex stuff with AEW to get into, whereas NXT was more just a straightforward good TV show. So we won't go through everything, obviously, but let's just kind of hit the big points. We did see Killian Dane get a big win over Pete Dunne. I was really surprised, and I'm really shocked at how Pete Dunne kind of feels like nothing. And we talked about this a couple of weeks ago, and I'm worried about him because I'm like, he should be, like, he's so good. And I don't know what they need to do with him. Like, is it just a case of he, like, NXT is not where he should be because he's been in and out so many times before? Or is it the booking of him? Like, I mean, he just doesn't feel like he's clicking anywhere near the way I thought he would. If, you know, if you told me 6 months ago Pete Dunne's gonna be in NXT every week, I'd be like, great, that's gonna be brilliant. But he just doesn't seem to be a focal point as much.
He doesn't seem to be a focal point as much. And it's crazy because, like, Pete Dunne is a really big star, like a really big star, right? And he doesn't seem to have a place right now. And I think that, I mean, he did everything you can do in NXT UK. He was the champion for 2 years. Like, where do you really go after that? I mean, you can tell non-championship stories with him, but maybe they want him to be on the brand that gets more eyes and, you know, he's a big star, so they want him on television. I get that, but they don't really seem to know what they want to do with him in NXT. Like, he will have North American Championship shots, but he doesn't win them. He feels kind of like, I had a comparison in my head earlier in the week, and I'm trying to remember who it was, but like, he feels a little bit almost like Charlotte Flair in a way. Like, I think Charlotte's becoming, I mean, I haven't been watching Raw and SmackDown consistently recently, but like, for a while, it just felt like Charlotte was the best, right? Like, she's incredible. She was the queen, but she was just sort of like in the periphery, kind of on the sidelines, not doing a whole lot because they were focused on other people for the championship and they didn't really know what to do there. He almost feels a little bit like Roman Reigns too, right? Like, because they've taken Roman Reigns away from the title scene and he just kind of feels like he doesn't have that much direction right now, but he's still a big star and he's still really important, but and beating him feels like a big deal. But they just don't really know where he's going. And so it is strange. Like, I was happy to see Killian Dane get a win. I like Killian Dane a lot. But it did surprise me because it seems like you would want Pete Dunne to be a big star and to remain a big star. But I guess, I mean, beating him felt like a big deal, so maybe it will help Killian Dane a little bit. I don't know. Like, he just kind of seems to be floating and aimless a little bit. I would like for him to find some sort of blood feud.
Yeah, I mean, the other thing is because he is more known for his wrestling and not really any kind of promo work or anything, I think he might find it tough in some ways, but maybe he's just someone who could do with a mouthpiece or something that would be.
Yeah.
Anyway, we also saw the return of Mauro Ranallo on the show. Great to see him back. There's a really cool video you can find on social media actually where he gets like a standing ovation from the crowd when he came out before the show.
Which was
So.
awesome, and he did a great job. And it NXT doesn't feel the same without him. Like, I like Tom Phillips a lot, but it didn't feel the same last week.
Yeah, it's they're so lucky they have him, because if he was to leave and go public and some stuff, whew.
Oh, yeah.
Anyway, we had the Undisputed Era coming out, which obviously, like you were talking about, kind of led to the main event, which was good. Undisputed Era against Ciampa, Keith Lee, and Dominik Dijakovic, and it did feel very much for me like a War Games rehash. Because it's most of the same
Yeah,
people.
like I don't know what more they have to accomplish.
I mean, for me, the coming out of that, what I loved was the Finn Balor Keith Lee stuff and Balor's involvement. Balor's involvement for me was far more interesting than the match because the match was just like more good wrestling with these six people that we have seen wrestle well together recently.
Yeah, I mean, like I enjoyed this match more than I enjoyed War Games because I didn't have to sit through War Games, right? But at the same time, I was like, you guys just had like the ultimate feud ending thing, and we already saw this. I mean, we saw a version of this, just this time we don't have Bobby Fish or Kevin Owens involved, and I don't know what more we have to prove. But yeah, I mean, Finn Balor and Keith Lee squaring off is awesome. Like, I thought the promo segment to set up the main event was quite good. Like, it was very well done. Like, I am interested in these dudes, Keith Lee especially. Keith Lee's a fucking star now, and it's awesome to see. Like, and this is one of the things that occurred to me during that promo segment was like, this is what happens when you have a proper baby face for heels to go against. People cheer the baby face and boo the heels because I can't remember another time where Undisputed Era were getting booed. Like, even Adam Cole versus Johnny Gargano, a lot of people were chanting Adam Cole, right? And Johnny Gargano is like the baby faciest of baby faces. But Keith Lee's so good and so charismatic and so over right now that everyone wants to bask in his glory, and everyone wants to chant for Keith Lee, and everyone wants him to win because he's this big, strong badass who's awesome, and the Undisputed Era are just like weaselly heels who are cunts to everyone. So it's been really refreshing to actually see a proper babyface. Like, it's the same thing with, on AEW, you have Cody Rhodes being like this awesome babyface who cuts these amazing promos every week, and you just really want to get behind him. This is what babyfaces are supposed to be. They're not supposed to be idiot good guys, right? Like, they're supposed to be badasses. They're supposed to make you want to cheer for them. And Keith Lee's doing it in spades, and I just love him.
Keith Lee's great, and the Balor stuff's really good, and yeah, I mean, I think the issue with the kind of the setup and the match is it's more of the same, which is just it's fine, but it's not you're not
It
gonna
was sort of
like.
a perfunctory thing to get you to the triple threat number one contenders match with Tommaso Ciampa, Keith Lee, and Finn Balor. But, like, I mean, I'm not mad at the match, I guess. Like, it served its purpose, and what came out of it was the more important thing. So it's fine, and the wrestling was good. But the match itself didn't really grip me. And I think I heard, like, people switched off during that match, right? Like, they left NXT and went to AEW and whatnot. And I get it. Like, what more is there to see here?
Yeah, you've kind of seen everything that they are capable of, and unless you get a story to kind of hook you in, why would you? We also got Shayna Baszler and Ziya Lee. Shayna obviously got the win. Nice to see her get just a, you know, I mean, Ziya Lee got a fair amount of offense in than I more than I thought she would. You know, she lasted 4 minutes. She was trying. Because was Ziya Lee not? Ziya Lee was the person that Shayna beat very quickly in the Mae Young Classic, am I right?
Yeah, like which person are you talking? Did Sheena fight Xia Li in the Mae Young Classic?
Didn't Shayna fight Ziya Lee in the first round of the Mae Young Classic and she just
I
like
thought she fought
choked her?
Zeta in the first round
Was it
of the Mae
Zayda?
Young Classic.
I thought, okay, maybe it was Zayda.
Was it the one with the bullying story? Like, I was bullied, da 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 da, and then Sheena's like, fuck you.
It could be. There has been so much wrestling in the last like couple of years that me trying to remember stuff is just a nightmare. Yeah, it was Zeta, not Ziya Lee.
But I loved Ziya Lee versus Shayna Baszler. Extremely my jam. Like, I'm a big fan of Ziya Lee. I think she's awesome. I love her kicks. I love her everything. And Shayna Baszler and Xylee have a really interesting style together. I don't know. Like, I really enjoyed it. I know that it was short. Obviously, Shayna Baszler was going to win, but there were moments where I was like, yes, Xia's getting offense on Shayna Baszler. This is amazing. Like, she powerbombed her and she got a pinfall attempt and all this stuff. I was super into it the whole time. I mean, Shayna's awesome and Xylee is one of my favorites. And it's nice to see that they see good things in her too, because I think she has so much charisma and I just love her style. So I was very happy to see her.
I really enjoyed the dynamic with Rhea Ripley and Dakota Kai. And on the show, which obviously we were kind of told was going to be the match, and we don't actually get it. And, you know, the sort of end game is Rhea Ripley challenging Shayna Baszler. But I thought this was all really well done. You know, we had Mia Yim involved, and, you know, there was loads of brawling and stuff. And it all kind of worked for me again, because the characters all kind of made sense of why they were doing what they were doing. And Dakota Kai's a heel's working really well. So I just thought this was, for me, this was like the highlight of the show, this women's segment, because it just felt like people were really into the characters and who, you know, people want to see Shayna get beat, and I kind of think they want Rhea to be the one to beat her, so that's really good. Dakota's working really well as a heel. We've still not even touched the whole Dakota and Tegan Nox thing, which is going to obviously be a big thing, so it hit on all cylinders for me.
I like the characters, and I understand all of their motivations, and that's working for me. What was kind of disappointing, though, was I was really looking forward to Rhea Ripley versus Dakota Kai. And for Rhea Ripley to be the one that's like, never mind, we're just setting you up so that Mia Yim can beat you up instead of getting this match that I was promised. I'm like, is this really better than what you promised us, though? Like, I do want to see Rhea Ripley versus Shayna Baszler. I'm glad that she's challenging Shayna Baszler. I think that's great. But I didn't really understand Rhea Ripley's, like, motivation for being like, haha, this is a setup. Instead of me beating you up, it will be Mia Yim. And then it's like 2-on-1, which is almost a little bit too sympathetic for Dakota. Like, Dakota's obviously a piece of shit, right? Like, she's coming out with her best friend's knee brace that she used to attack her. So, like, yeah, you can call it comeuppance, but it was also like a little skewed for me. So I was a little bit lukewarm about it, actually. Like, I'm excited about the end game. Like, I cannot wait for Tegan Nox to come back and, like, beat the shit out of Dakota Kai, and that program's going to be amazing. I am so excited for Rhea Ripley versus Shayna Baszler, which I think is happening on the 18th. That's going to be amazing. And I liked seeing Mia Yim be a badass and be like, hey, fuck you for attacking me. Because that's what happened, right? Dakota Kai is the one who attacked Mia Yim. I think, like, we found that out earlier in the show. Dakota had, like, a promo that she called her a hood rat or something and was like, just like I took out Mia Yim. And it was like, ha, 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 like, you are dastardly and you took out everyone. So, like, yeah, the alignments make sense, but it just kind of felt like Rhea was being more of a dick than I appreciate, I guess.
But overall, I mean, NXT was a fun show. You know, it didn't feel like it dragged that much. I mean, we saw Matt Riddle versus Cash Sono again. Cassius Ohno, like, surely he's just gonna go back in the indies soon, right? Like, what is
I would
there
kind
left
of hope
do?
So. I mean, I kind of love, I love how smarmy he is. I do. And, like, if his job is to make other people look good and be a smarmy asshole that, you know, you want to see get beaten and then he gets beaten, then he's performing that role incredibly well. I love the fact that he went to NXT UK, World's Greatest British Wrestler, because he had to instill the British style in all of these young kids who don't know their history and all of this stuff. Because, I mean, like, Cassius Ohno legitimately has studied with Johnny Saint and, like, loves British style wrestling, right? Like, that's how he came up in wrestling. So I love him just kind of being a smug asshole about it. I like Cassius Ohno versus Matt Riddle because I think they're really good together. But yeah, like, I mean, Cassius Ohno is not going to rise to the top of any promotion. Like, I don't know what he's, I haven't really been watching NXT UK, so I don't know what he's been doing over there. But on NXT anyway, he's not someone who's going to be prominent, which is a bummer because I really, really like him. But I don't know. I don't know how long his contract is. I don't know what's going on with that, but
it just feels like he's done everything he can do. You know, he just feels like it's ran its course now. But yeah, so over in AEW, it's weird. This is the first time I've watched an AEW show and I was like, it was okay. Like,
it's so funny because I actually liked this episode more than I've liked previous episodes. And I've seen a lot of people be kind of down on it. And I don't know if it was maybe just my mood when I was watching the show, but, like, I wasn't any more in the mood to watch AEW than I normally am. There were a lot of things I liked though, so it's interesting.
I like the show. I think my problem is I don't I like and you mentioned it earlier. I don't want to go into it yet, but like the three heel faction thing like is so sort of incomprehensible given that like it's there's not that many people booking, so it shouldn't that stuff shouldn't fall through the cracks. So like you've got Cody who's out there, and my God, they need to start that MJF feud soon.
Yeah.
Because and like next week, like he's teaming with QT Marshall against the Blade and the Butcher. Like
Well, because like MJF chose QT Marshall for Cody, right?
Yeah, that's
Isn't
the
that the
story.
thing?
That's just but like still it's like
But they didn't really explain that on TV, though, because I
no.
only saw a tweet that was like QT Marshall was handpicked by MJF for Cody Rhodes, and Cody Rhodes like completely buried QT Marshall in a tweet too, which I didn't appreciate. I love QT Marshall. I think he's great. And QT Marshall had a response that was like, "Hey, I've been doing this for 15 years. I've trained some of the best. Like, I'm awesome. Give me a chance," which good on him because he is awesome. But like, I don't know. I don't get it. Like, because the whole thing is supposed to be like MJF picked QT Marshall because he's a quote unquote nobody, right? Like, and if you don't know him from the independent scene, and I'm not that familiar with his work, but like I know where he trains and stuff. But yeah, like I thought it was real weird for Cody to send out a tweet basically burying QT Marshall and not like it was almost mean. It sounded mean.
Well, I didn't see it because which is
I'm gonna
weird
try to find it. It was a couple days ago, so it might be kind of tough, but.
because during the Inside the Road show he actually brought QT Marshall up on stage to put him over.
Well, and the thing is, I know that they're like, I know that QT Marshall like does a lot behind the scenes and like works with them and stuff, which is why the tweet was like, I think I'm trying to remember what he said because he said something about him being like, I don't know, like important behind the scenes and stuff, but then it almost made it sound like he was a nobody.
Okay, well, I mean, but, regardless of that, like, I just don't think that Cody and QT Marshall versus the Butcher and the Blade is really that appealing to watch, and like the idea that like Dustin can't help him because he's embroiled in a blood feud with the Inner Circle, like what that doesn't make any sense. Like why would he not be able to do both? Why would he not want to help his brother next week? I don't like it's not like he's scheduled to do anything else. And I think where they're starting to lose me a little bit, and it bums me out, is like Brandi's promo was not good, and like her delivery of it. Like I liked what she was trying to say, but the problem is it doesn't really make any sense. We're here to do the jobs that you don't want to do. What jobs? Like what are
I
the
don't really
jobs?
understand it.
So, but then on top of that, it's like so she's a heel. I'm imagining with Awesome Kong. And like Cody's referencing it on the show, going like, she's away cutting the hair of defenseless women. So are you okay with that? Because then later on she's coming out and going, the Nightmare Collective is just an extension of the Nightmare family. So is Cody in on it? Like, it's really poor storytelling. Like, it's not good. And it's stuff that like we would accuse Triple H and Stephanie of doing, and it
Oh,
shouldn't be.
100%.
And it shouldn't be happening here. And like the problem with like the you've got the three different kind of like you've got the Dark Order thing, you've got the Brandy and Kong thing. Why is the third one escaping me? Of like cults and like taking people over. Who's the other one?
The Butcher Blade and the Bunny?
Bishop Blade and the Bunny, yeah. They're all kind of doing the same thing. And I don't really get why. Because like we've just started pushing the Dark Order with this whole like, they are a cult. Now, Butcher and Blade are a different kind of cult, but then you've got Brandy and Kong, who is the wife of the man that one of the cults are going after, but she's in the cult that says her husband is an extension of the cult.
And like it would be an interesting story if Allie decided to recruit the Butcher and the Blade and become a bunny for reasons, because Brandy and Kong cut her hair and she's pissed and she wants retribution against them, and that's why they're attacking Cody because they're too. But like that's not the story that they're telling.
No. And like, I
None
mean,
of it really makes any sense. And I love the whole Dark Order recruitment thing. I think it's amazing. I think that if you have to choose one culty recruity thing, like 100% stick with Dark Order because they're the campiest and the best. Like if the Dark Order is secretly controlling the Butcher and the Blade and the Bunny and secretly controlling Brandy and Awesome Kong and it's all connected, great, amazing. Make like a comic universe out of it. But they don't seem to be making those connections, and I don't know that they intend to. And it all just seems like really similar. I can't find the tweet that Cody had about QT Marshall, but like I did find one from QT Marshall responding to it that says, "I realize MJF," or he wasn't responding to Cody. Cody might have deleted it because like I think he meant to come across as complimentary, like saying that he helps out behind the scenes a lot, but it was basically like, "I'll beat them by myself." But QT Marshall said, "I realize MJF picked me because he doesn't consider me a high caliber competitor. I've spent over 15 years as a wrestler and coach. I live and breathe pro wrestling. It's an honor to share the ring with Cody. I'm not coming to Dallas to lose. Thanks to the fans for having me." So, like, I hope that people see him and realize that he's awesome because he is awesome.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. The other thing with the Brandy thing that annoyed me was like, well, because once she got through the whole, like, we're here to do the jobs that you don't want to do, which makes, I don't know what you mean, then the promo actually got decent because she was like saying to Chris Statlander, like, you know, hey, look, we could help you. Come in, we'll take care of you. That part of it was good. But then we've got this random woman in the
That's
crowd.
where it started really reminding me of Dark Order.
Yeah, but then we've got this woman in the crowd who's just like, pick me. And it's like, she might as well have been Mitch. She was such an obvious plant.
Oh,
Like,
yeah.
it was like, and the other problem is you've got Kong and Brandy, but Brandy's not, Brandy obviously is a great, I mean, it's great for Brandy to have, like, you know, the muscle of Kong behind her, but then Kong can't really wrestle anymore. So, like, where does it go? And the biggest thing, the biggest issue for me is the Cody Brandy thing. Like, why would he? Not only, like, it's not like they're not mentioning them and having them be separate parts of the show, like when we were watching Retro Raw, like China and Triple H. But then again, they merged that together when they had like Austin and JR against Triple H and China and Jeff Jarrett attacked China. But like Cody coming out and cutting his babyface promo and being like, my wife's cutting off the hair of defenseless women. And I'm like, right, but you're in charge of the show.
And
So
in canon, in charge of the show too. Like that is mentioned regularly.
So like I like to me that was like that made it worse to bring it up. So yeah, I mean, so that part was just like what's because the Cody MJF stuff was one of my favorite things in the show, and now I'm like, why is Dynamite happen without MJF?
Yeah, where
And
was he? Was he
like
just not on the show?
maybe he's on Dark, I guess, but like if you. I'm all fine with not doing Cody and MJF yet if you have a better idea first, but teaming with QT Marshall, no offense to QT Marshall whatsoever, teaming with QT Marshall, you know, because MJF is making him against a new duo who are managed by a woman that Brandi Rhodes beat up a few months ago. Like, who screamed that idea and was like, we should do this first, because this is going to be great.
Well, and that
Like,
just highlights the issue with the Cody Brandy thing that you're talking about, because like she is a woman that Brandy beat up a few months ago, but they're not even mentioning it. Like she didn't mention Brandy in her promo. They're
now
just
she now
going
she's
after
a
Cody
bunny.
because reasons, and now she's a bunny.
And don't get me wrong,
Like, and
like
I love the Butcher and the Blade. Like I love the Butcher and the
anyone
Blade.
with a
I
monocle
think
is
they're
gonna get
great.
my vote of confidence, you know?
Of course. And so I want them to succeed. I don't know why they're going after a singles wrestler. Like none of it really makes sense. Like none of the explanation that Ali d said made much sense to me, I guess. I thought Cody's promo was brilliant again. Like I think he's great and I think
Loved
he
his
is
promo,
really
yeah.
I don't even remember everything that he said, but he's just really good at getting people. Like he makes me want to root for him. He makes me want him to win. And I think he's just like so good at controlling the crowd in those moments. But I think you're right. A lot of the stuff that he's mentioning, like he's mentioning Brandi Rhodes, and I don't know. Like a lot of the stuff just isn't making sense in terms of world building to me.
And that's troubling because, like, there's not a lot of people booking it, so if there's not a lot of people booking it, then it should be making more sense. And it shouldn't be this convoluted, you know? And you're right, Cody cut a great promo. I think the reason that it probably bothers me more than it bothers a lot of other people is because Cody has been one of my favorite parts of the show, as has MJF. So to not have MJF there and then have the Cody stuff build into stuff that I'm not really that excited about, has kind of, you know, tempered my buzz a little bit compared to before. But my positive is that Chris Jericho is the best. Like, the lexicon of Le Champion and, like, reading out, like, AJ Styles' real name and Moxley 100 times, and then he says Marty and he stops. It's obviously going to be Marty Scurll at some point, which is great. It's a great tease. Like, this segment, Tony Schiavone was like, or JR Tony Schiavone, one of them was like, there's Jake Hager, you know, great outfit tonight. Looks like a bottle of Merlot. Okay, cool.
The
And
whole
the.
thing was brilliant. It's disgusting how good he is at his job, right? And the callbacks, like reading Moxley all the time as though, you know, Moxley is the new arm bar or whatever. And of course he doesn't have the original list because, well, how could he, right? Like, this is a different promotion. But having the lexicon of Le Champion and having it be all sparkly and bedazzled and stuff, he just makes everything entertaining. It is disgusting how good he is at his job.
And it, but the great thing is as well is he so he does the promo and then they bring it, you know, Jurassic Express, and then now I'm like insanely into the idea of Jungle Boy and Jericho, like,
Yeah, me too.
because you've got this great story of like he can go because now he only has to go 10 minutes for Jericho, which is a great way to do it, and then you could even have him beat Jericho in the non-title match, or you go straight to the title match, whatever you do, but people like. Even Cornette was saying this. Loads of people have said Jungle Boy could be a huge star because he's got the look, he's got the appeal to all different types of people. You know, I think guys would like him enough. Girls obviously would like him a lot, as would some men. But like I think the Jungle Boy thing was great. You know, Jericho saying that he thinks he's a piece of shit, and then Jungle Boy says he's gonna kick his ass. But that all worked for me great.
Luchasaurus quoting history to Chris Jericho was my everything.
Oh,
Like,
it was
I
great.
love when he brings up that he has a master's degree in history because he fucking does, right?
He's been
And
persecuted for 65 million years.
exactly. I mean, it's a lot of trauma for him. I love Luchasaurus. I love Jungle Boy. I love Marco Stunt. I love all of them. I want them to prevail in the world, like, forever.
And the one of the things I was thinking about as this episode had finished, because you know, and I also really want to give some love to the six-man tag with Dustin in the Bucks against Inner Circle. I thought it was great. I really enjoyed it. Dustin having fun as a young buck was great.
Dustin wearing like the bright tassels and stuff and having the face paint like to match the Young Bucks, I thought was super fun. And also, Dustin is just, he's still so good. So good.
Yeah, and so that was great as well. So I mean, there was stuff on the show that I did really enjoy, but like I say, the kind of repetitiveness of the cult people was problematic. But the other thing I was going to bring up was I was looking at the end of the show, and also the Jericho thing was for me the big highlight of the show. And in my head, I was going, I didn't believe it 6 months ago, but see now that we've seen like 4 months of TV or whatever. I don't think AEW would be half as successful without Chris Jericho.
No, I don't think it would be either. I
I
think
think I.
he was absolutely the right choice for champion and for champion. And I think Chris Jericho's doing that thing, and I know we've mentioned this before, but like he is the focal point of the show. Like, I would say Chris Jericho and Cody are kind of the two focal points of the show, right? I think that's fair.
Yeah.
And what Chris Jericho is managing to do that not a lot of people can do effectively is, I mean, he's still a heel that is a piece of shit, and I do want to boo him. And I know a lot of people are cheering him because he's very entertaining and fun, but like he's still acting like a piece of shit, and I want to boo him because he's going up against people I like better, like in terms of moral alignments and being Jungle Boy. But he's managing to bring other stars up. Right? Like, Jericho versus Darby Allin was great. Because it felt like it elevated Darby Allin. Chris Jericho versus Jungle Boy, I'm so here for it. Like, do I expect Jungle Boy to beat Chris Jericho? No, I do not. If he does, that would be like crazy and amazing and the best. But I don't expect Jungle Boy to beat Chris Jericho, but I feel like Jungle Boy will be elevated by being in a feud with Chris Jericho. It doesn't feel like Chris Jericho is just like this old dude stomping down new talent. It feels like he's actually creating more stars. And that's rare.
And the thing is, I think if you take him out of the equation, I don't think you're winning the ratings as much. I think a lot of people who are tuning in for him, I mean, like, you know, all half of Ollie and I's banter now is Le Champion, Like it's Jericho related stuff. Him, if anybody else who you put the belt on first, I don't think it would have worked as well. So I think it is a real credit to Jericho, how much he's been able to do, and can really back up in real life what the story is, which is he feels that he's deserving of a thank you. And in real life, I think he's kind of proved that he kind of does in a weird meta way.
No, it's great. Like, it all feels like, obviously, Chris Jericho is very silly with a lot of the stuff he does. He looks like he's having a blast with this. I mean, like, he likes to be the center of attention, so obviously he's having a blast with that. But like, I think behind the scenes too, I think he's probably very important to AEW, and I don't think there would be as many eyes on the current product without him, but I also don't think that they would be building toward the future as well as they are without him either. And I think that's a testament.
Yeah, 100%. And like you said, the another thing that was an issue was they didn't have it happen on the TV show, but they did it on Twitter, where MJF cut a promo on Twitter, and that was where he said that QT Marshall was going to be the partner. And it's like, why
Why is
was that?
MJF allowed to choose Cody's partner?
Well, because was that not because Cody had said, you can pick it, you can pick who I wrestle, you can pick whatever. So he picked his partner.
Oh, okay. Cause that was Cody's whole promo. I just remembered was he was talking about MJF, and MJF has said that he won't fight Cody, and Cody wants to fight him, right? And was like, hey, there's this watch that was given to me by Tony Khan that I love. Like, here, have it. Like, here, have money, have all this stuff, have a briefcase of money, have my shoes, have whatever you want. Like, I need to fight you. So they're starting the Cody MJF stuff, but it's definitely a very like slow burn, I guess. And they're just kind of pacing it so that there's going to be a lot more. So, because when is their next pay-per-view?
They've not announced a date exactly, but there is going to be another pay-per-view in February. So I think
Okay.
the times of the year is probably going to be February, May, late August, early September, and November. That's going to be the 4 times a year where you get an AEW pay-per-view.
Okay. So, I mean, because they don't have pay-per-views as often, they kind of have to make things take a little bit longer if they want to have the big match on pay-per-view, which I get that. Like, that doesn't bother me as much as it bothers some other people, I guess, because there's still intrigue for the Cody MJF stuff for me. But I don't know, like, one of the problems that I have with AEW is like, if MJF is cutting that promo on Twitter, like, I didn't see it because I'm not on Twitter all the time every day. And if they're advancing story on Being the Elite, like, I haven't watched Being the Elite in weeks, so I don't know what's going on Being the Elite. Like, they need to be showing me the main story points on AEW and like building characters and building worlds and stuff more on AEW Dynamite and maybe on AEW Dark to some extent, but I haven't really had a chance to watch Dark the past
No,
week or two either.
I think you're right. It has to be Dynamite. I mean, we watched Retro Raw, in 1998 specifically, or you could know pretty much 99% of what was happening from Raw's War, and that's what it should be. Like, there was secondary stuff on Heat or on Shotgun that like you could watch, and it's something, but it's not imperative to the Raw stuff, and that's
Yeah,
the way
because
it
I mean,
should
like
be.
right now where we are in 1999, like you do have to watch Raw and SmackDown because you will miss things if you don't watch SmackDown, but that's another televised program.
Yeah, that's meant to be a like for like thing. So, yeah, I mean, it needs to be that on that tour Dynamite we have kind of the complete tools to know the story that's going on. I'd also quite sure something I did love on the show was Nyla Rose being a badass and putting the referee and Shanna through a table.
Yeah, she was great.
I like her being a big sort of beast that's just gonna kill whoever she wants. So that was good.
Yeah, she's just being an asshole. She's suspended for the rest of the year because of her dastardly actions, right?
Yeah, she is suspended indefinitely for what she did. Yeah, so
Which I want to
overall,
see her come back and fuck some people up because that sounds
I
great.
hope, yeah.
Also, what do you okay, so you know Chris Statlander is like one of my favorites. So getting to see her get a win over Hikaru Shida was like crazy.
Yeah, I mean, again, the thing about the women's division that's strange is you've got like they're introducing all these people, but they don't really feel that they're part of the same world, which is a problem.
Which I think, like, maybe Brandi and Kong were trying to bring Chris into the world a little bit by, like, confronting her. I mean, we've already talked about how their methods don't necessarily make sense and we don't really understand them. But, like, I don't know. I think that she's an interesting example. Like, first of all, she's one of my faves, so she's going to stand out to me. But she's an interesting example of someone that, like, maybe not a lot of people knew before AEW, but she's been consistently on television the past few weeks. Like, she was on Dark, and then she's been on Dynamite the past couple weeks. And, like, her getting a big win over the number one contender for the championship feels huge. So she seems to be kind of an experiment that they're having in creating a new star, right? And I think it's working with her. And that's the kind of thing that I like to see. Like, they're trying to build something. And they had more than one women's match for fucking finally. So I guess good on them for that. But yeah, the women's stuff doesn't seem to be part of the same world. But I guess AEW just hasn't really figured out what its world is yet. I think that's part of the problem. And I know that they're still new, so they're still trying to establish themselves. Like, they've only been on the air for 2 months. So I get it. Like, I get that not everything is going to be solidified and they're still kind of trying to find their footing and figure out who they are. But I think it's getting to be about time where, like, we need to know what world we're living in. And I don't think that they're doing the best job of portraying that on television.
Yeah, I mean, there was more issues on this show, I think, in terms of, like, issues that have been kind of happening and we saw them there. You know, the women's stuff for me is, like, I like some of the character stuff, but the character stuff has to end in physicality that I really enjoy, and that's not happening yet. So, mm-hmm. You know, where's Rio? She's the women's champion. You know,
where has she been?
Yeah, like, I assume it's that Rio has other work in Japan and she comes in and out, and that's fine, but, like, yeah, I think she's someone who people could really get behind. I mean, the other problem is they don't have house shows, so they can't really be working on stuff. But I'll be curious to see next week, because next week we've got the on Dynamite, we've got the Young Bucks against Santana and Ortiz in a Texas street fight. We've got QT Marshall and Cody against Butcher and the Blade. And then on NXT, we've got the Triple Threat number one contenders match. Ciampa, Keith Lee, and Balor. I wonder what the ratings will do next week, but there's almost 2 million people watching wrestling on a Wednesday night, so that's cool.
Yeah, because viewership was definitely up from last week, which makes sense because the Wednesday before Thanksgiving, like, not a lot of people are going to be home. So I know viewership, like, if you combine the two numbers, was fairly low, and it was back up this week, which is good. Like, I would like to see that continue to grow. Obviously, like, you want more people being into wrestling. You want it to be appointment viewing. So it's interesting to watch the numbers. Like, I don't really, like, live or die by the numbers as much as some people do, but it's interesting to me, I suppose.
And then on the December 18th, we're going to have a head-to-head Jungle Boy and Jericho and Adam Cole against whoever wins the Triple Threat. I do wonder if NXT are going to do a Christmas Day episode. I hope they give their crew the day off.
I think they said they were going to... Have they said... I want to say that they said people were going to get the day off, but I don't know if that just meant for Raw and SmackDown.
Yeah, Raw and SmackDown are definitely off. I hope
that they do something. Like, you can tape an episode of NXT. It's not going to kill you.
Yeah, it'd be fine. That'd be totally fine. So a couple other bits and pieces that I wanted to mention. Ciampa did an interview with Lillian Garcia, and he basically said that he doesn't want to go in Raw and SmackDown because his body can't handle it. So he said that, like, he could, you know, he can do another 4 years in NXT on that schedule, but if he was on Raw and SmackDown doing that schedule, he probably only has, like, a year in him. So what did you make of him saying that? And, I mean, to me, it seemed very smart.
It makes sense. I mean, the travel schedule of Raw and SmackDown is insane, right? Like, with NXT, they have live events, but, I mean, they're all in Florida. So as long as you live in Florida, then you can just go to Full Sail once a week, do television. You can do the live events. You're not traveling. Like, you don't have to constantly be flying. You don't have to constantly be driving for 5 hours at a time. The schedule in NXT is a lot lighter, and it makes perfect sense to me. Like, as long as he's happy with where he is and what he's doing, like, there's no need for everyone to be like, I need to be the best main roster star and make millions of dollars. Like, I'm sure Tommaso Ciampa is doing fine with what he's making in NXT. Like, I don't know the financial ins and outs. I know that they are different types of contracts, but, like, if he's happy there, awesome, good. I want him to be able to wrestle for 4 or 5 more years. He is great. I want him on my television.
You must have also been very happy on November 26th when the man behind Luke Harper applied to trademark the name Brody Lee, which seems like he's biding his time to get out and go somewhere else.
I would be very happy to see Brody Lee return to the wrestling scene. Why, yes, I would. I would be very, very, very happy with that indeed. Yes. How much longer does Luke Harper have now? Like, after the 6 months got added?
I think it's next year at some point. I don't know when, though. So, it seems like that's...
We're just waiting.
Also, like, I know you love Oney Lorcan. It was such a buzzkill to just see him say, I've re-signed.
Oh, like, no.
Like, I'm almost like, don't go on Twitter and be that guy. And then be like, oh, it's okay, I've just resigned. Like, it kind of just made me be like, oh, okay. Bored.
I want what's best for him, for sure. Like, part of me is like, I wonder if he actually did resign or if he's just taking the piss. I have no idea.
that would be trolling on an Olympic level.
Because honestly, I don't know. Like, I don't know what to believe from Oney Lorcan's Twitter. It's all yelling. It's all delightful. I don't know. Like, if he's come to an agreement and he's, like, figured out something that's good for him, then I'm happy for him, honestly. But I would so much rather just, like, see him elsewhere. Like, I really would rather see him elsewhere. But if he's happy, then good for him, I suppose. I kind of almost hope he's just trolling, though.
Same. Hard same. NWA Power is about to get Stu Bennett as a replacement on starting, I think, at the pay-per-view. And then they did this weird video where they, like, thanked Cornette like he died.
NWA Power has been weird the past couple weeks. Have you watched any of it?
No, I was going to ask you, how have they handled having taped Cornette footage? Fill me in on has the show felt any different without him? And how have
it
they
feels
handled
it? Weird. Like, really weird. So you know how NWA Power is normally like this delightful, well-edited, well-cut studio show. Everything flows really well. Everything makes sense. It's like, it feels like it's been cut up and glued back together incorrectly. And I don't know how much of this has to do with, like, just their taping schedule and how much of it has to do with having to re-edit out Cornette stuff. But last week's NWA Power, not this past one, but the one before that, was just a clip show. Like, entirely a clip show where it was all interview content. Like, there was an empty arena match and it just felt lifeless. Like, it felt like about as important as, like, a post-takeover NXT. Which isn't great, right? Like, wow. Nothing really happened. Nothing really advanced. Like, there was some interesting interview stuff to, like, get to know the competitors a little bit more, but I didn't like it. I didn't like it at all. I turned it off.
I read a thing that, like, on the most recent one, that they've kind of tried to edit a lot of Cornette just generally out of the show. Is that true?
Yeah, because they don't... Because, you know, a lot of times it would focus on commentary, and commentary would be welcoming you to the show. Yeah, it would cut to them. It's not cutting to them anymore. It's just what's his name? Jim something? Not Jim. I don't know. The other dude. There's a dude who's a host. Can't remember his name to save my life. White dude. Can picture him. But he's just against a background sort of welcoming you to the show as though he's, like, in a separate place, because, I mean, he is, like, they've refilmed this, but it feels very choppy and it feels very cut up. Like, Cornette is still on commentary for the show, and he's still, I mean, he's Cornette, like, he is good at commentary. His commentary helps things along. I guess I don't really understand why they've tried to edit Cornette's face off of the program as much as they have. Like, just because someone is no longer working for your company doesn't mean that you have to edit out previously used footage. Like, it just makes the show feel weird and something feels wrong to me. So it's strange, and I'm still enjoying some of the stuff that they're doing. Like, the stuff is a whole lot of fun. Like, Aaron Stevens is a piece of shit, and, you know, I love Ricky Starks, and having Colt Cabana be like, you know, hey, Aaron Stevens, why don't you face Ricky Starks? And if you win, then you can get added to our, you know, North American Championship match and all this stuff. Like, there's a lot of good stuff happening on the show. I don't really understand why Colt Cabana and Ricky Starks were going to have an exhibition match when they're supposed to be fighting for the North American Championship at Into the Fire, but, like, whatever. Okay. But everything just kind of feels like it's been Twilight Zoned right now. Like, having having just like a host intro instead of focusing on commentary, it doesn't feel like its own little studio world anymore. It feels very separate.
The thing for me, so all I saw was I saw Joe Galli do the thing on Twitter where they were like thanking him, and I'm like, and I saw David Bixenspan had liked a tweet that kind of almost came across like this, where he basically said, like, you know, them thanking him almost feels like they're kind of going, yeah, we didn't really know what to do, and we didn't really think you did anything wrong, but we didn't really know how to handle it, so now you're gone, so thanks.
Yeah, I don't understand why they did that weird video thing. Like, everyone knows the situation. Like, if you're watching NWA Power, you're familiar with the situation, right? Because it's not like the show airs just on TV. You're not going to come across it in channels. Like, you're actively seeking it out on YouTube, unless, like, it'll autoplay from... what I mean, like, more hardcore wrestling fans are on this. And to thank Jim Cornette, like, thanks that you made a joke that many people found offensive, and then you quit when you wouldn't apologize and you double down on being an asshole. And so, like,
wait a minute, he did apologize, and he also, the problem was they couldn't agree on how he would apologize, right?
No, they couldn't agree on how he would apologize.
But the problem is, and this kind of comes down to them again, is that I feel like a lot of people who are kind of like us, who are kind of in the middle and just kind of trying to look at it and see what it is, a lot of people are kind of going, they probably could have fixed this had they just dealt with it better. Because, like, it's like, you know, they put out their thing where they kind of buried Cornette initially, and I don't think at that point Cornette and Lagana had spoken. Then they couldn't agree on an apology, so then Cornette leaves, and then now they're doing the thank you, and then they edit him out of the show. Like, it's all very strange.
It all just feels very messy. Like, it feels very messy, and it's at the detriment of the show. Like, the show does not feel the same. It doesn't have the same life. It doesn't have the same energy that it did because of all the weird editing. Like, instead of thanking Cornette and, like, explaining why you edited him out, like, why don't you just not edit him out if you don't have a problem with him?
Because I don't think anybody who, like, was going to boycott the show because of Cornette would not be aware that there's pre-taped stuff and not watch it. Do you know what I mean? I think people already know.
Right. And he's still there. Like, it's not like he's edited out of the show entirely. It's not like they've retaped commentary. It's not like they, you know, I mean, when the Rock and Roll Express win the tag team titles, it's not like they don't show him celebrating with them, right? Like, they do. And that's fine. Like, I don't feel like Jim Cornette has done anything to warrant, like, Benoit treatment here, right? Like, that's ridiculous. Like, that's overkill for me. So I guess I don't understand all of the re-editing. I know that there's, you know, obviously some bad blood and hurt feelings and all that kind of stuff, but it's, the show feels weird, is what I'll say. Like, I think Stu Bennett being on commentary, like, I haven't really heard much of his commentary. You worked with him, right, when he was doing commentary?
I don't know if he was doing...
Didn't he do commentary for WCPW?
Yes, he did. He's decent. The problem with him is that I don't feel that you fully believe that he, like, is not going to wrestle. Like, I feel when you see him, you want to see him wrestle. Like, you want to see him beat people up. But he's a good talker. He's decent on the mic. All I can really say is that for me, and this is no bias, I knew that when the Cornette thing happened that I was probably not going to follow NWA as closely anymore, because for me, he felt like such a big, good part of that show that I enjoyed, that the whole situation just kind of made me not feel like I had all the love for the show that I had before. Not that I was banishing it, but I just wasn't going to, like, make time every week for it.
You weren't going to actively seek it out the way that you had before.
Yeah, whereas, like, you know, if I see things, all I can really say, and I think this is probably a compliment to it, is that, like, I, in my head I was going, who are they going to get? Matt Stryker? And when I saw the Stu Bennett thing, I didn't hate it. And I think that's probably the best thing that I could say about it. So if I didn't hate it, then I think that I think people will probably give it a chance. But, like, I mean,
I'm intrigued. Like, I just kind of want to get passed into the fire at this point, so that, and, like, I'm probably not going to buy into the fire just because, again, like, there is so much wrestling for me to watch, and I already have a couple, like, subscription services. There's a lot. I'm interested in what's going to happen at that pay-per-view, but I will probably catch it via recaps on Power. I will watch Power after that. Like, I'm hoping that once we get past all of the pre-taped footage, that it can kind of go back to being the NWA power that was so much fun. And I think Cornette was a big part of that. And I don't think it'll feel the same without him. But I think for me, it's more like the editing and the weird cuts and the, like, just the off feeling of it right now is what's putting me off and making the show not nearly as enjoyable. So I'm hoping that it can, like, be its own thing again, because I really enjoy the studio presentation. It's such an easy hour of wrestling. And, like, there's a lot of fun stuff. There's a dude called Question Mark.
Yeah, there is fun stuff there. It's just going to be, will they come? Because the thing is, before, like, people were loving that show. And then it's almost like, it's like,
and now the momentum seems to be just, like, halted, because the show hasn't been good the past 2 weeks.
And you've taken a big because I just think if they had handled it all better, we could have got past this, you know? It's like, even like Cornette had said in his podcast, he said, if somebody had come up to me after the fact, or even during, right, and said, you can't do that joke anymore, it's not acceptable, or it's just, like, it's not acceptable now, he would have went, okay, sorry, my bad, won't do it again. He said that's what he would have said. So I feel like there's all these areas where it's like, we're now at this last stage resort that we didn't need to get to. Would it Brexit?
No, I mean, it escalated unnecessarily. Like, there are so many places where it could have been taken out, right? Like, if someone had noticed that the joke was off color in the first place and edited out of the show, that would have been ideal. Like, if someone would have just spoken to him, that would have been ideal.
If he hadn't said it, it would have been ideal.
If he hadn't said it, that would have been ideal. That would have been the most ideal.
But the problem is that now it's like they had a little bit of momentum and it kind of got railroaded off the road. I don't know if in this day and age, like you were saying, so much wrestling to watch, if people are out of the groove with it, you almost need to get them again. And that's, you don't get many chances to get people. So I really hope for them. And for some of the people who I know there, I really hope that they are able to do it. But
I'm really hoping that, like, Into the Fire has something come out of it that makes news and makes headlines and stuff. Like, I mean, I don't know what exactly, like, I don't know what they have on the card that's necessarily going to generate tons of news and tons of intrigue, but, like, I hope something happens. I hope that there's, like, a debut or something monumental, right? I don't have any good ideas of what that could be, but I hope that it makes enough news that people are like, oh, this is interesting. I would like to see the fallout from this. I will tune in to Power on Tuesday. And then I hope that Power is back to feeling like Power again. And then it can kind of smooth things over. Like, I don't think that they're going to have as much buzz as they did in the beginning when it was new and shiny and fresh. But I think that they can get people back if the pay-per-view is good and if enough people are talking about it afterwards. If Into the Fire happens and it's a fine show that nobody talks about, then I think that's going to be a problem.
Yeah, for sure. And then the very last thing I want to ask you, because I know we don't talk about main roster stuff, and I actually didn't ask you, so I don't even know if I'm spoiling this for you. I wanted to get your take.
Spoil away, I don't care.
They did an angle last night on SmackDown where Bray Wyatt, Firefly Funhouse Bray Wyatt, attacked The Miz.
And really?
Because,
like, during Miz TV or something?
No, in the back. They had Miz went into his dressing room and there was a photo of Bray Wyatt with Maurice and the kids. And he was looking at it and then the Funhouse Bray Wyatt came out of nowhere and attacked him. So they have announced for TLC that it will be The Miz facing Firefly Funhouse Bray Wyatt in a non-title match. What do you make of this?
I'm intrigued by it. I kind of want to watch that angle now. Like, I will, if it's on YouTube, I'm probably going to watch it right after this because I have a little time before work.
I'll tell you what we'll do. Why don't we? We're going to do a tease where you can say your last thing, but we'll talk about it on the Overrun after you've watched it. But I guess
I've seen it. Like, my pre-watching the segment thoughts are that I'm intrigued and I kind of want to see Firefly Funhouse Bray Wyatt be involved in angles. If it's done well. Like, I'm always very trepidatious when it comes to things with Bray Wyatt because I want him handled with kid gloves so that he can be the special fiend that he is. But I'm intrigued by it. Like, if Firefly Funhouse Bray is trying to go after Miz and his children, if he's trying to recruit the children to be Fireflies, kind of here for it, honestly.
We'll talk about it on the Overrun, which will be out tomorrow. What are the plugs, Sandra? Plug away for all the Inside the Ropes related paraphernalia.
Okay, there are plenty of plugs. You can follow me on Twitter at SandraRuthRW, follow Kenny on Twitter at KennyMC1985, follow Inside the Ropes at Inside_the Ropes, patreon.com/InsideTheRopes, after I have seen the Bray Wyatt segment, and I'm sure we'll talk about other news and things and happenings in the world of wrestling as well. Plus tons of bonus content with Kenny and Finn, plus Retro Raw pay-per-view coming up this week, which is exciting. Ish, because it's Armageddon 1999, so it's not that exciting, but I'm trying to sound excited.
28 minutes of Triple H and Vince.
28 minutes of Triple H and Vince. I might have to be really drunk when I watch the show. We'll see what happens, which could make for fun recording. I look forward to discussing 28 minutes of Triple H and Vince with Finn. But yeah, youtube.com/InsideTheRopes is where you can see lots of video content. I know there wasn't one this week, but like Kenny and Ollie will do live stream reactions to AEW and NXT on Wednesdays. There are clips from Inside the Ropes live shows. There are interviews from StarCast and SummerSlam and Survivor Series. Not Survivor Series. You weren't at Survivor Series.
Full Gear.
Places, though. Full Gear is where you were. And there are interviews from that. And you can go to insidetheropes.co.uk/tickets for tickets to live events. I believe tickets are currently in Kenny Omega and Jim Ross.
There are tickets available for Kenny Omega and Jim Ross, so please do go get them. So that's it for us, though. Whose theme song should play us out, Sandra?
That is an excellent question.
Oh, no, why don't we play it? Why don't we play Into the Fire?
Let's play Into the Fire. It's such a good tune, too.
Here is Into the Fire, the theme song for NWA Power, and here's hoping the pay-per-view is going to be good for people. Please do join us on Patreon for all the bonus stuff. Thanks for listening, everybody. Bye.
Bye.
Your eyes, they beckon me. Your lips, they speak lies. And